Morning, everyone. The reading today is from Galatians chapter 5:22 to chapter 6, verse 10. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Thanks, Miv. Keep that reading in front of you so you can double check what I'm saying is there. Well, you can be... add my welcome to John's. I'm Colin, I'm the pastor. If we've not met, it's great to have you here. But you can be a member of... excuse me. You can be a member of lots of different things, can't you? A member of things. So, I mean, I don't have a wallet anymore. It's all on my phone. But when I did have a wallet, it was always full of cards of membership for things. Like, and there's an episode of Seinfeld where George has got a backache and he works out it's because his wallet has got so full of membership cards and, like, loyalty cards for things. And you never know, it might just come in handy one day, mightn't it? I'm a member of the RAA. Other breakdown services are available. But now, I really care about being a member of the RAA if the car won't start. But to be honest, when I get the AGM papers in the post, who's ever been to an RAA AGM? No, they go straight in the bin. I'm not really invested in that membership. On the other hand, lots of people join a sports club, don't they? Members of a sports club, and it can end up that your whole life revolving around that sports club. But what about membership of a church? Membership of a church. We're in this sort of mini-series in January, looking at some of the purposes we have for church, church with purpose. Looking at some of the priorities and purposes we find in the Bible that answer the question, what kind of church does God want? What's his plan for church? So in previous weeks, we've looked at magnifying God, about how everything we do is for God's glory. And we've been looking at mission, having God's heart for the lost, and joining in his mission to save people by calling them to put trust and believe in Jesus. And today we're thinking about what it means to be a member of a church. Some years ago, for all these purposes we think we find in the Bible, we got together as a network of churches and came up with some definitions and purposes. So here's one we came up with. So this isn't the Bible. This is us reading the Bible and trying to just sort of word helpfully what we think is in there, okay? So here's one for membership. And it's on your leaflets as well, I think. As God saves people through the gospel of Jesus, we are united with Jesus and all believers. God intends us to express this unity by belonging to a local church, where our life together testifies to God's wisdom and power. And then if we sharpen that into a purpose, why we do what we do as church together, we want to see all who come to Trinity Church warmly and intentionally welcomed, included and nurtured, so that together we develop a great love for the church for which Jesus died. Now, I think that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That sounds like the kind of, if we fulfill that purpose, that sounds like the kind of church where, you know, you genuinely loved with proper biblical love for each other. Sounds like a great church to be part of. Where we're helping one another live godly lives, where we turn up at church and growth group and other things for the sake of other people, at least as much for our own sake. Well, let's have a look through the passage that we've just read for us from Galatians. And there's an outline in your leaflet, if you find that helpful, of where we're heading. Some people just like to listen, some like to know how long this bloke's going on for. Then there's a breakdown there. So we're going to see how we've got a unique membership card. Then we'll see, if we were a club, what would our rules of association be? And we've got three. And what are the threats to our membership? And finally, we'll think through some practical application for us, for Trinity Church and membership. First of all, then, we have a unique membership card. When I was a member of, does anybody remember Blockbuster Video? Remember that? Kids, here's what used to happen. You had to go to the shop and flick through physically the movies and rent them. And you had a plastic card to prove your membership. But church isn't like joining a video shop. Church is people gathered by God through the preaching of the gospel, through people hearing about Jesus and us responding in repentance and faith. And our overall reason for being is God's glory. Last week we saw that a big part of why we exist is for the sake of people who aren't even, we don't even know yet. People out there who are not at church. So we're members of a unique kind of club, and our membership card, our guarantee that we are part of it, is the Holy Spirit of God himself living in us. When we joined or grew up in this club, when we put our trust and faith in Jesus, a spiritual reality happens. We became in Christ, the Bible calls it, and he came to live in us by his Spirit. So Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is not a perfect analogy, but it's a bit like getting in a plane. So to a large extent, what happens to the plane happens to you. So, you know, if the plane goes up, you go up. If the plane goes down, you go down. If you get wobbled around in turbulence, you get wobbled around in turbulence. If the plane gets delayed, you get delayed. When we embrace Jesus by faith, it means he died not just for me, but in a sense as me. My story becomes, so his story becomes my story. From God's point of view, I'm hidden in Jesus. And it's as if I've died for my sin when Jesus did. That's why Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's true of you and it's true of me. We are in Christ together, hidden in him. Our spiritual reality is that you belong to me and I belong to you, because what's most fundamentally true about us is the same. And you and I, we both have God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, living in us. He's our mark of membership. God the Holy Spirit is so much the same of will and purpose as Jesus, as Christ, God the Son, that the Holy Spirit is interchangeably referred to as Christ living in us, or the Spirit of Christ. See, even the Holy Spirit wants to magnify, glorify Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is our mark of membership, and he brings us everything we need to be part of God's club or family or body, part of church. First of all, he's dealt the decisive blow to our sinful nature. So Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, of course, you only need to spend 10 minutes in any church in the world to know that we still sin. The difference is, though, the battle is not hopeless. And God will perfect us in the end. But it's a bit like when our dog tried to catch a blue-tongued lizard in the garden. The lizard dropped its tail to make its escape. And that dismembered tail, although dead, kept twitching away for 7 hours afterwards. It's really creepy. That's what our sin life is like. But not only are we put to death, we're raised to newness of life by the Spirit. In fact, as Paul says, verse 25, we live by the Spirit. That simple statement sums it up. The Spirit is sufficient for life. We live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't just show us how to be members of God's family. He equips us, empowers us for our membership as well. Everything we do together as church is in response to God's grace. That means we're hidden in Christ. And everything we do is by His Spirit. So what does it look like then to be members of church? Well, let's imagine for a moment church is run like a sports club. And we're on the committee. And we're having our annual review, looking over our rules of association. Well, I can see three of them. Being other member focused, cleaning up our act, and remembering grace. So first, we're other member focused. Notice the fruit of the Holy Spirit mentioned in 22, the one that summarizes the rest. Love. Love. Not a sentimental, mushy kind of love, but a love that considers others' concerns as greater than our own. And we'll look at how to love each other as we go, but it's summed up in chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So we're to seek the good of others. We're to welcome people in like family, because that's what Jesus did for us. To welcome us into God's family. 1 John 4 verse 11 puts it like this. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Follow his example. We're other member focused. So that's one of our rules of association. And we are cleaning up our act together as church. We're helping each other with the help of the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus. First, ourselves, so Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So God has dealt our sinful nature the deadly blow. It's just like that twitching lizard tail. And he is at work in us to produce this fruit. But our becoming more holy like this, more like Jesus, the posh word for it is sanctification. It's something we join in with, as we saw in the kids' talk, like the three-legged race at primary school. So when I was 10 years old, egg and spoon race, I wasn't so good, okay? Bit wobbly, lost the egg a few times. But the three-legged race, me and Ross McGarver, we worked it out. We aced it. We called our legs one and two, rather than left and right. That's my top tip for you. It's my only sporting success in my life ever. It's been downhill since then. But we flew down that track. But if we pulled in the other directions like the kids did before, we'd trip up and get nowhere. So we walk in step with the Spirit. We walk together in the ways God is taking us, instead of giving shoe leather to walking in ways to satisfy our flesh. That's a way of saying, that's like our sinful, selfish desire for self-rule, going God's way instead of our own. So we join in with cleaning up our acts with what God's doing in us. And we have to help each other to do the same. It's part of what church is. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now that's pretty awkward, isn't it? Because I think culturally we find it very difficult to acknowledge to someone's sin to their faces, don't we? It's kind of like, I think that comes from a good place of not wanting to be judgmental, not being seen as nitpicky or falling into judgmentalism. But it's unloving to leave one another floundering in our sin. It's not kind to pretend everything's okay when it isn't. And God's called us as his church to help one another out of sin. I don't know if you catch the vibe of the passage. Paul's instruction here assumes we will sin. It infers that there are some sins, some burdens, we can't sort out ourselves. We need help with those burdens lifting off us. But a burden is a trouble that others can help with. So calling one another out on each other's sin is appropriate, so long as it's done with this heart, this aim of gentle restoration. So when we do catch one another in sin, we're not saying, oh, I can't believe you did that. But rather we're saying, can I help you with that? Not, I can't believe you did that, but can I help you with that? So we're other member-centred. We're cleaning up our act with God's help and with each other's help. And thirdly, we are remembering grace. We need to remember the grace God has shown to us so that we remain radically humble. So chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. So we remember that you don't have to be anyone special to be in this club, in this family. You just have to put your trust and faith in the one who is special, in Jesus. You don't have to be special. Jesus is special enough for us. Now, having just said carry each other's burden, Paul, did you notice he said each carry their own load? What does he mean there? Well, it's reminding us each of us is accountable to God for our own actions. And God is not going to judge us in comparison to someone else like we do. If we forget grace, the danger is we'll start thinking we're something we're not. We'll start thinking we're good enough to be in God's family on our own merits. And then we'll end up comparing ourselves to others to make ourselves feel good about how we're better than them. But remembering it's only by grace received through faith that we are saved, that only Jesus has been good enough. Well, remembering that kills that pride and keeps us unified, one in Christ, all of us together relying on him for our standing before God. So that's our rules of association. Other member focused, cleaning up our acts with God's help and each other's help by the power of the Holy Spirit, and remembering that grace, the grace shown to us to keep us radically humble. The trouble is there are some threats to our membership. Threats to our membership, that's our next heading. I reckon if you just pause for a moment, think of people who are active in this church or another church you've been part of, but now seem to have given up on Jesus, as far as you can tell. We need to watch each other's backs for anything that might lead us away from Jesus. So here are three things that might lead us away. Number one, purpose drift. By that I mean we need to stay grounded in the Bible to make sure we don't drift away from what life and church is all about. And plenty of churches have done it in history, getting distracted, usually by really good stuff, like social action, things like that. And it starts by getting distracted from Jesus, and it ends up with Jesus being an inconvenience to the thing you've become distracted by. The Apostle Paul, writing this letter, knew he had a tendency to drift, and that's why he says in chapter 6, verse 6, "Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor." So this isn't me asking, I'll be not taking a collection on your way out, don't worry. The church has always set aside people and funded them so that we can make sure we don't drift from the word. That's why our budget as a church includes paying me, so I don't have to worry about getting a different job, an additional job, so that I can give all my time over to keeping us on God's mission, making sure I'm handling the Bible carefully so we don't drift from God's purpose for us. A second threat is treating church like our old club. So our new life in the Spirit is different to a life lived for ourselves. Different priorities, different purposes, and with different results. So chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So sowing to please the flesh, that's thinking about church through the mindset, solely of the mindset, what's in it for me? Being transactional about church. It's seen as in church as an institution I go to service my needs and wants, rather than seeing church as part of my identity, who I am, rather than seeing church as a family I come alongside to love and cherish and serve. So I think of it, to illustrate this, I think of it as like two different kinds of Christmas meals in my life. So I've got a picture of some. So the first one, the works Christmas do. You know, you spend loads of money for professionally produced food, entertainment included, a really good time. The other, I think of our family Christmases growing up. Noisy, chaotic, stilted conversations with uncles who seem to be from a different planet about things I know nothing about. Soggy Brussels sprouts, all of that. But which meal do I cherish now? Which one do I miss the most? What kind of meal do I look forward to the most? Well, it's the messy, chaotic, lots to say is wrong with it, but it's the one that's about long-term, unconditional, loving relationships. The one that's not just about me and what I like, but is about a family, about relationships. So don't invest in the shiny promises of the flesh. They lead to destruction. Invest in growing in yourself and others, the fruit of the Spirit. And the third threat, growing weary. Growing weary. I think this is what seems so off to me when people spend ages looking for a new church. Because I think often they're looking for something that doesn't exist. Not yet. Notice Paul's assumption is that for all our joys, doing this good of sowing to please the Spirit and being unified in Christ, his assumption is it's going to be hard work. Verse 9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So the gospel, the good news, is not that church life in the here and now is easy and happy all the time. No, much of what we're about together as church only makes sense in light of our heavenly reality of being one in Christ and our future eternity with him. And we avoid growing weary by seeing that investing ourselves in church is investing in something that will last forever. And when our doing good for one another is thrown back in our faces, when we're slandered for our doing good, we can survive that. We cannot grow weary by remembering that in the end, we're not doing it for ourselves, but for God's glory. To finish then, let's think about some practical applications for us at Trinity Church Woodcroft. So just to repeat that purpose again, to see all who come to Trinity Church warmly and intentionally welcomed, included and nurtured, so that together we develop a great love for the church for which Christ died. Now, what does that look like? Well, you could do your best to get along, to get to better know some of the people God has given you to do good for. So we have morning tea. So a simple application is half an hour. Just add half an hour on to how long you're expecting to be at church and hang out at morning tea for as long as you can. I accept some people are introverts and it may be the most awkward, difficult part of your week. I haven't got a cure for that. But as best we can, we'll look out for you and just help you into conversations. To ease that, why not ask somebody for a cuppa during the week or catch up with them for lunch? And if you need an excuse to do that, your family, you're one in Christ. And we all catch up with family, even when we don't get on with them. What else? It means your growth. We have growth groups. So these are small groups that meet in people's homes to study God's word together, to be in fellowship together and to pray. So to one another. I'll get on to that in a moment. But they're a great way to get to know people better so you can be invested in each other throughout the week. How else? You could be sharing invitations to this service to people so you can or share links to our sermons that are online so they can get familiar with us and then come along. And when we gather, I know we have a welcoming tea on the door. Like, you know, they know they're supposed to be there to intentionally welcome you in. But actually, every one of us should consider ourselves part of the welcoming team. I think the most helpful way to think about this is about, if you think about when you have somebody around to your house as a guest for dinner or whatever. Now, you don't change what your home is all about for them, but you do your best to help them feel at home in your home. You offer them a drink. You tell them where the bathroom is, where they can put the coat. You introduce them to people that they don't know. And you know how to do that. So consider it your responsibility to do that when you're here as well. And just quickly, back to our rules of association. Just one aside for each one of those to get you thinking. So being other member focused. When you really don't feel like turning up to a church, to church this morning or a church thing, or you don't feel like you need it, well, turn up anyway for the sake of someone else. You know, the primary school our children went to, at the end of the year, they all get a character trait certificate. And the one that always puzzled me was availability. And I often wondered, does that mean that the best that they could say about this child was that they turned up? But actually, that's a really helpful trait, isn't it? Being available to people. Just your presence could be a real help to someone. So that's an aside for putting others first, an aside for cleaning up our act. Our sanctification, our getting more like Jesus, usually it's a slow and lifelong process. And we need enormous patience with one another And thankfully, that is part of the fruit that the Spirit is growing in us, patience. And to really help each other, we need to be growing the kind of Christian friendships and relationships where we can confess our sin to one another and can help one another out of it, where we can pull one another up on a sinful behaviour without ending the relationship and never speaking again. So the other leaflet in your leaflets is, I did a search of all the times one another, all the ways we're commanded to treat each other as church, appears in the New Testament. One another. And there's a lot, isn't there? Some are repeated, but there's still a lot. And frankly, your average, nice, polite, normal Adelaide kind of friendship isn't going to generate the kind of one anothering we see in those verses. So we need to deliberately invest in each other, make an effort to form deep biblical friendships where we can do that kind of one anothering. And remembering grace, well, stay grounded in the Bible, read it regularly, to remember what you once were in the flesh and what you are now in Jesus. To remember the love of God who now lives in you. Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Whilst we were still definitely not qualified to be members of God's family, Christ died for us. So let me ask, how do you see your membership of church? Is it like being a member of the video store? You're only in it for what you can take out of it? Or are you in it to see all who come to Trinity Church warmly and intentionally welcomed, included and nurtured? Because when we treat church like that, together, we develop a great love for the church for which Jesus died. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you've not just saved us into an individual relationship with you, but you've saved us into your family, into church, and that gathering together like this, as weak and sinful and hopeless as we seem, can seem sometimes, this is ground zero for what you're doing in the world. This is a picture of our eternity, a bunch of different people gathered together in Christ. So we pray you'll help us to be intentionally welcoming, including, and to help nurture one another. Pray you'll build in us those deep Christian relationships where we can do all that one anothering. And we long for this, for your glory, and so others may know Jesus for your glory. Amen.